Okay, well, today we're going to discuss the date of Christ's birth. Now, this has been something that people have been arguing over for a long, long time. And tell you the truth, a lot of people come up with some pretty wild stuff when it comes to trying to date the birth of Christ. Some people have tried to show that Jesus was born at a certain time of year based on how cold it would be outside, or whether or not the shepherds would have been with their herds outside, or whether they would have been inside in the shelter. There's also been many people to try to show that Jesus was born at a certain time of year based on the alignment of the stars that night 2,000 years ago, and when there would have been an exceptionally bright star in the sky. And basing a date on the stars according to astrologers would place the birth of Christ either on April 17th or on December 3rd. Now, as I've taught before, there is quite a bit of scriptural proof that the star that the wise men saw was really not a star at all. Sometimes, you know, when we think of stars, we think of those lights up in the sky that twinkle at night, and certainly that is those are stars. But in the Bible, a star can be a star like you look up at night, or it could be an angel. When it comes to that star, if you look at it, really there's a whole lot more proof that that star was an angel, because it talks about, you know, it stood over where the child was and things like that. So that's just something that you might want to keep in mind. Really has nothing to do with the date of Christ, but or date of Christ's birth, but just keep that in mind. Now, there are also those people who try to date the birth of Christ by looking at planetary formations that would have been in the nighttime sky during that time. But today I want to show you the real date of the birth of Christ according to the Bible. Now, when you look at the Bible, you're not going to find an actual date saying Jesus Christ was born on this day. But what you can do, there are certain ways that we can determine when he was born. And really, what you're going to see is we can bring this thing down. We can narrow it down to within 2 weeks. But I think that we could even narrow it down to a specific day. And what I want to do today is I want to show you this. Now, as far as the actual date of the birth of Christ, most everybody's already concluded that Jesus was not really born on December 25th. You know, there are those today that say, well, if Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, then it would be wrong to celebrate it on December 25th. Well, I mean, if you're going to take that way of argument, you know, then I would tell you, whatever you do, don't celebrate your child's birthday on the weekend, because, you know, if your child's birthday lands, like say, on a Tuesday, and you can't celebrate his birthday because you're working, you know, a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll wait to the following weekend to celebrate it. And so, you know, to say that you can't celebrate a person's birthday on a different day, that's not a scriptural argument, okay? But really, the question is, when was Jesus Christ really born? And when was it that Mary and Joseph held the baby Jesus in that manger before the shepherds and the angels? Well, in order to find that, out exactly when, turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Now, in Luke chapter 1, I'll wait till everybody gets there. Luke chapter 1. And in Luke chapter 1, look, if you would, starting at verse 1. It says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Now here comes the verse that tells us the time that Jesus Christ was really born. Look at verse 5. It says, "There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth." Notice the phrase, "of the course of Abiah. Now, what in the world does that mean, of the course of Abiah? Well, hold your place here in Luke chapter 1 and turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 24. 1 Chronicles chapter 24. 1 Chronicles chapter 24. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, look if you would at verse 1. It says, "Now these are the divisions of the sons of Aaron. The sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father and had no children. Therefore, Eleazar and Ithamar executed the priest's office." Now, what this is talking about is the account where Nadab and Abihu died because they had done a horrible thing. If you'll remember, they were Eleazar's sons who were priests, and they allowed the fire that was used for the sacrifice to go out. And they decided to start another fire. But that was not the way it was supposed to be done. The fire that they started was considered to be strange fire before the Lord because, that fire that was burning there, the Lord had started that fire with his consuming fire. And that fire was supposed to be continually kept going all the time. But when they let the fire go out, they basically used their bicks or matches and restarted it. And therefore, it was considered strange fire because it did not come from the Lord. So what did the Lord do? The Lord killed both these men for doing that. And if you read even further into that, there was probably a good chance that these men had been drinking, because the first thing that is mentioned right after this event, if you read back there, that account is the Lord told Aaron and Moses, warned them about drinking strong drink, okay? So that was probably the reason. But either way, I mean, what it come down to, these people, these two men offered strange fire before the Lord, and the Lord killed them for doing so. Now, as a result of these two men being consumed by the Lord, obviously there would be no offspring for these two priests because they died. And that means that down the road there would be not enough priests to do the duty of the high priest. Only Eleazar and Ithamar were doing the duties of the high priest. So what David decides to do is David divides the duties of the priest by lot. Look if you would in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, starting at verse 3. It says, "And David distributed them, both Zadok of the sons of Eleazar and Ahimelech of the sons of the Ithamar, according to their offices in their service. And there were more chief men found of the sons of Eleazar than the sons of Ithamar, and thus were they divided. Among the sons of Eleazar there were 16 chief men of the house of their fathers, and 8 among the sons of Ithamar, according to the house of their fathers." So you have 16 of one of those priests, men altogether, 16 of one of them, and 8 of the other. Now that's 24 chief men altogether, okay? And so these 24 men were given a job to do. Look at verse 5. "Thus were they divided by lot, one sort of another, for the governors of the sanctuary and governors of the house of God were of the sons of Eleazar and the sons of Ithamar." So what it's basically is saying is these were to be the ones to be the priest, the high priest, that would, and there were 24 of them, okay? And so what David did is he divides them up to be priests for a certain amount of time during the year, all right? Look at verse 6. "And Shemaiah, the sons of Nathaniel, the scribe, one of the Levites, wrote them before the king and the princes, and Zadok the priest, and Ahimelech the son of Abiathar, and before the chief of the fathers of the priests and Levites, one principal household being taken for Eleazar, and one taken for Ithamar. Now the first lot came forth to Jehoiarib, and second to Jedidiah. The third to Haram, and the fourth to Seorim, the fifth to Malchijab, and the sixth to Mijamin, the seventh to Hakaz, the eighth to Abijah, the ninth to Jehuah, the tenth to Jeconiah, the 11th to Eliashib, the 12th to Jacob, the 13th to Huppah, the 14th to Jeshabib, the 5th to Bilgah, the 17th or the 16th, the 15th to Bilgah, the 16th Immer, the 17th to Hezar, the 18th Aphzes, the 19th to Pethathiah, the 20th to Jezekiel, the 1 and 20th to Jachin, the 2 and 20th to Gamal, the 3 and 20th to Deliah, the 4th and 20th to Messiah. Now, these are the 24 priests mentioned here who are to serve in the temple by lot each year. And so what you have here is the first priest doing the duty for the first half of the first month, and then the second priest doing the duty for the second half of that first month, and then the third priest doing that duty for the first half of the second month. What it is every 2 weeks, there would be priests. The first one would do the first 2 weeks, and the second one would do the second 2 weeks of the month. And so you have the priests divided, 24 priests, over 12 months, and that's two priests doing a duty per month. Okay, now, if you look back here, if you think about it, now remember, the Jewish year is not the same as ours. Ours starts at January. The Jews' year starts at March, April time frame of the month Nisan. Okay, and so if you look back to Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it tells you when the first month is. And it says in Exodus 12, 2, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of your year." And that is the time of the Passover. All right, so what you have here, now if you're taking notes, you need to write this down, okay? The Jewish calendar is, the first month is Nisan. That is the last 2 weeks of March, the first 2 weeks of April. And then you have Iyar, Iyar. That is the last 2 weeks of April and the first 2 weeks of May on our calendar. And then the third month of the Jewish calendar is Sivan, S-I-V-A-N, and that is on our calendar, that would be the last 2 weeks of May, the first 2 weeks of June. And then you have Tammuz, T-A-M-U-Z, that would be their fourth month, the Jewish fourth month, and that would be on our calendar the last 2 weeks of June and the first 2 weeks of July. Then you have Av, A-V, which would be the fifth month on their calendar, and that on our calendar would be the last 2 weeks of July and the first 2 weeks of August. Then you have Elul, E-L-L-U-L, that would be the sixth month of the Jewish calendar, which would be the last 2 weeks of August and the first 2 weeks of September on our calendar. Then you have Tishrei, T-I-S-H-R-E-I, which would be the seventh month on the Jewish calendar, which on our calendar would be the last 2 weeks of September, the first 2 weeks of October. Then you have the eighth month of the Jewish calendar would be Cheshvan, C-H-E-S-H-V-A-N. That would be the last 2 weeks of October, the first 2 weeks of November on our calendar. Then you have the ninth month of the Jewish calendar, which is Kislev, K-I-S-L-E-V, which would be on our calendar the last 2 weeks of November, the first 2 weeks of December. And then you have the 10th month of the Jewish calendar, which would be Tevet, T-E-V-E-T, and that would be the last 2 weeks of December and the first 2 weeks of January on our calendar. The 11th month of the Hebrew calendar would be Shavat, S-H-V-A-T. That would be the last 2 weeks of January, the first 2 weeks of February on our calendar. And then you have the 12th month of the Jewish calendar, which is Adar, A-D-A-R, which would be the last 2 weeks of February on our in the first 2 weeks of March on our calendar. So that is how, and it's very, very important that you write that down, because then you have a breakdown of the Hebrew calendar compared to when it would be on our calendar. Now, the reason that's important is because of the course of Obadiah. Look back at Luke chapter 1, verse 5. And it says, this was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Obadiah. And his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So Zacharias here, John the Baptist's dad, here is performing his duties, which is of the course of Obadiah. Which means, if you look back, at our text in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, you'll notice that the eighth priest to do the duty is Obadiah, and that's found in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 10. Okay, and so if he is the eighth priest, according to 1 Chronicles 24, 10, then what that's showing you is, and it's two priests per month, that means Obadiah or Zacharias would have served in the second half of the fourth month because he's the eighth priest, okay? And so that puts him at the second half of the fourth month. Now, what is the second half of the fourth month? Well, if it starts off at Nisan, and then you count your 4 months here in the Hebrew calendar, that means he would have served in July, the first 2 weeks of July. That's when he would have done it. All right, now, turn back, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and look at verse 23. It says, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministrations were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So after Zacharias performed his duties as a priest, Elizabeth conceived sometime after his duties were accomplished in the temple, which would have been sometime around the middle of July on our calendar, which was the beginning of the Jewish month of Av. Okay. All right. Now look at verse 26. And it says this, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Drop down to verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, Mary conceived. Now, according to these dates, the conception of Jesus was somewhere in the middle of December, which is awful close to Christmas time, by the way. But he was not born in December. Jesus was born 9 months later in September. Now, to reconfirm that date, you can also get a fix on that date of Jesus' birth by getting the date of his public ministry and his death. Now, before we do that, I want you to understand here, if you look at exactly when Zacharias had his ministration, and then when she would have conceived, well, all you had to do is find out right after he got done his ministration, she conceives, and then you count 6 months past that, and you get Mary conceiving, and then you got 9 months past that, and what it shows you is Jesus was born in September, okay? And so and he would have been conceived in the middle of December, but he would have been born 9 months later, which is in September. Now, like I said, to reconfirm that, to show that Jesus was born in September, you can also basically look when he died, and then working way back 33 and a half years, okay? Because we know that he was 33 and a half years old when he died. And he died on the Passover. So if you go back on the Passover, which is at the very, it was just 15th day of the first month. That is the Passover. Oh, wait a second. I'll take that back. Let's see. Hold on here. I just want to make sure that's right. Yes. So the month, the beginning of the month, it shall be the first month of the year to you. So the first day, the Passover is New Year's Day, the first month of Nisan. So if you go backwards from that, if you go back 6 months from that, and then what you would have is you would have, again, September, okay? So again, if you, because it's 33 and a half years, he was 33 and a half years old when he died. And so if he died on the Passover, which he did, and you go back 6 months from that, and then 30 years from there, you're going to have him being born in September. So either way you go, if you look at the course of Abia, or if you look at going backwards 33 and a half years, what you're going to show is that he was born in September. Now, there are some amazing truths about this that I want you to see. First of all, notice that Jesus was born in the seventh month. September is the seventh month. Now, you know, the problem is Julius Caesar and them messed up our calendar. Sept means seven. Oct means eight. DEC for December, that's 10. That's how it was supposed to be, but then you had Julius Caesar doing things like July and things like that that messed everything up. The seventh month is September, okay? September. And Jesus was born on the seventh month, and seven is the number of completion. There's another truth I want you to see. That is found in Leviticus chapter 23, 34. So turn over to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34. Leviticus 23, 34, here's what it says. It says in Leviticus 23, 34, it says, "Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord." Now, that's the middle of the seventh month. That's the middle of September. Now, we know that Jesus would have been born sometime between the middle of September and the end of September. Okay? Now, it's saying here, on the 15th day of the seventh month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles. So the birth of Jesus Christ corresponds with the Feast of Tabernacles, which is a picture of the Lord delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. When God first dwelled in the tabernacle among the people. If you remember, when the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt, God actually dwelled with them in the tabernacle behind the holy place, in the holiest of holies there, and only Moses was allowed to go in and talk to the Lord. And so the Feast of Tabernacles is when God first dwelled in the tabernacle among the people. Now, turn over to John chapter 1, and I'm going to show you something amazing here. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and look at verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." Drop down to verse 14. It says, "And the Word was made flesh." Talking about the birth of Christ. Now look what it says. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." The same way God dwelt among the children of Israel in the tabernacle. It says, "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," talking about Jesus Christ. "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." There is your Feast of Tabernacles in the seventh month. Now, that's just, I mean, if you think about how wild that is, because really, The Feast of Tabernacles here is talking about when God dwelled amongst in the tabernacle among the people. And now John 1:14 talks about when Christ became flesh, his birth, and dwelt among us. Okay? That's amazing because no man could have ever written anything like that. I mean, that's, you know, that has to be from God. The Bible's amazing. Now, turn over to Zechariah chapter 14, and I want to kind of show you something here, and something for you to think about, okay? Because what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out exactly when Jesus was born. Now, we've got a thing figured down within 2 weeks. In the 2 weeks there, in September, we know that, okay? So Zechariah chapter 14. So we know that the birth of Christ was on the seventh month, which would have been somewhere between the 15th of September to the end of September, there we know that, but and that's when you compare the Hebrew seventh month to ours, you get the first two or the last 2 weeks of September for the first 2 weeks of October, so we know it's from the 15th of September to the end of September at least, okay, but now in Zechariah chapter 14, look what it says in verse 16. It says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Now, Zechariah 14 here is telling you how it's going to be once Christ is on this earth, ruling and reigning for 1,000 years. Okay, that's the context of Zechariah 14, how things are going to be when he's ruling and reigning this earth. And it says that during that time, there in verse 16, it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, that remember the Antichrist and the nations that came against them, everyone that is left of those nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up, and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, notice there that it continues to talk about those who do not keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And in this context here, it's talking about people coming up to worshiping, come up to Jerusalem to worship the Lord by keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, some strange things to think about here. Number one, the only people who ever had to keep the Feast of Tabernacles in the past in the Old Testament were the Jews. And yet here we're being told that all nations are to keep this feast during the millennial reign. And if a nation doesn't come up and keep this feast during the millennial reign, then there are going to be a plague pushed upon that nation. Why? Because this is the only time in history where only one feast has to be kept while the other six feasts do not have to be kept. What I'm trying to say is this. When you look at the context of the millennial reign of Christ, the Bible tells you that when Christ comes back to rule and reign, the only feast that anybody has to keep is the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's not going to be just the Jews who keep that feast. It's going to be all nations. Now, that is unprecedented because in the Old Testament, there were seven feasts, and the Jews had to keep all seven. And we know that the reason that's so is because those feasts were a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly that's true. The Passover, all those things, the Feast of Weeks, all that. So it was all a picture of Christ. But during the millennial reign, there's not seven feasts that have to be kept. There's not seven ceremonies that have to be done. There's only one, and it is the Feast of Tabernacles. And it's not just the Jews who have to do it. It's everybody who has to do it. And so it's the only time in history that's ever been done. And you say, why? Why is it going to be like that? Well, I have a theory, okay? And that's all it is. It's just a theory. Because the Bible never actually declares what I believe to be true when it comes to the subject. Although I think that there is a lot of circumstantial evidence of this. And here's my theory. I believe the reason why all nations are required to come to Jerusalem and keep the Feast of Tabernacles during the millennial reign, and I believe that the reason why only the Feast of Tabernacles is going to be kept during the millennial reign when the other six are not going to be kept, I believe this is because Jesus was actually born on the day of the Feast of Tabernacles. I believe he was born at the time of the Feast of Tabernacles. Because, number one, it's the 15th of September on our calendar, seventh month on the Hebrew calendar, and it's the 15th of that month, the 17th month, so it'd be the 15th of September. We already know that Jesus' birthday is in September, and we know it's within that 2 weeks, but we don't know exactly what day. And I think when it tells you that everybody has to come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles during the millennial reign, I think what it's telling you is the reason Jesus is saying that that's so important is because that is his birthday. I believe it's his birthday. And I believe when people come up to worship the King of Kings and keep the Feast of Tabernacles, they'll be coming up to celebrate his birthday, which is the day of his actual birth. And if that's true, then we won't be celebrating his birth on one day like we do today. We'll be celebrating his birth for 7 days because that's how long the Feast of Tabernacles lasts. So if you can just imagine when the Lord is ruling and reigning on this earth, it'll be like having Christmas today, except we'll be doing Christmas in the presence of the Lord for 7 straight days. And I'll tell you this, I'm looking forward to that. And so that's my theory on this. But we do know this. We do know that he was born in September, somewhere between the middle of September, the 15th of September, and the end of September. And then the Lord has all nations come up to worship him on the Feast of Tabernacles, which is the 15th day of that the seventh month. That would actually be the end of September, if you think about it, because it's the last 2 weeks of September, the first 2 weeks of October. And so that would be somewhere right around September 30th would be the Feast of Tabernacles. So if you ask me when I think the Lord was born, I think September 30th on the Feast of Tabernacles is a pretty good guess. And I think there's enough evidence in the Bible to prove that. So that's what you have for the birth of Christ. Now, if you have any questions, make sure you get with me, and I'll actually show you. But make sure you write those things down that I told you about, where you're comparing the Hebrew dates with our dates, and then you can just simply do the math based on the order of Abia. Just take exactly what those scriptures say to you, and work it out on that, and you'll come to the seventh month, which is the last 2 weeks of September, first 2 weeks of October. A 15th day of that Tishri would be right around the 30th of September. And then, like I said, you can work backwards from the Passover, and you'll get the same thing. All right. And so with that, let's pray.